Looks like somebody prayed.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Yeah, we do encourage you to come and be a part of the Valentine's night, our couples night out. It's going to be awesome. How many guys love your spouse? Yeah, that was a good time for you to shout right there. That was a good time for you to get some brownie points. I love my spouse, right? All right. You young people, you just keep waiting, keep believing that God has that right one for you. Don't get in the rush. Amen. It's a big decision. It's a major decision. It will alter the course of your life, whether for good or for bad. So make the right decision. So that's just a little side note. That has nothing to do with my message this morning. Maybe it does. But anyway, so we're starting this brand new series. It's titled Mind Shift. And the reason we are starting this is I believe sometimes we have unhealthy mindsets that have been established in our lives, whether it's through our upbringing or whatever it may be, and different mindsets that really prevent you from becoming the man or the woman of God that God has called you to be. And so today, my goal is to hopefully inspire you to change your mind from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset. Before I get started, I'd like to kick off the video for you. I think after you see this, you'll probably want to run through a wall. Let's go ahead and watch it. If you have the presence of God on living on the inside of you, you have all that you need, amen, to accomplish all that God has put before you. And this message may feel a little different than most messages, and I believe it's to pump you up and to motivate you to change a fixed mindset to a mindset of that which is a growth mindset. So just to be clear, what we're talking about whenever I say a fixed mindset, a fixed mindset believes that your intelligence and your abilities and everything that you have, it's innate. In other words, you know, you might believe, well, they were just born like that. They were born as an extraordinary athlete. They were born as an extraordinary writer. They were born with all these amazing skills, and that's not me. You know, and so a fixed mindset might say something like, well, I'm no good at math, so I would never be good at calculus. Whereas a growth mindset would say, you know what, I see this as an opportunity to grow. I see this challenge as an opportunity to grow in my faith, to grow in my walk with the Lord. And I may not be good at math right now, but with a little effort and a little persistence, I can do all things through Christ. Amen. So it's a different mindset that we're talking about this morning. And so we want to change this mindset where we feel like we're not good enough, we're not adequate enough, we're not this and we're not that, and we believe the lies of the enemy for so long, and we have just been crippled by fear and crippled by intimidation of the enemy. And so we want to break that this morning. We're reading our story. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1 through 58, I believe. And so this is a story of David and Goliath. Right? And so you've seen the motivational video. Hopefully you're pumped up. You feel like you can run through a wall now. You feel like you can conquer any obstacle before you. But we're going to look at the Bible. Amen. And so our story today takes place around 1012 B.C. And so that's about approximately 1,012 years before Jesus came to the scene. And just to kind of give you an idea of what's going on right here, the Philistines, the sworn enemy of Israel, have gained some ground, some outer ground in the territory of Judah. And they are threatening Israel to come and invade their land and take even more land from them. Now, this would have never happened if Saul and the Israelites would have been obedient to the Lord. But because Saul is disobedient, Saul is the king of Israel at the time, and because he is disobedient to the Lord, whenever the Lord told him to wipe out the Amalekites, every single one of them, you're to wipe them out, and even the livestock, everything was to die according to the word of the Lord. And Saul partially obeys the Lord. He does not obey the Lord fully. And because of this, the Lord says that I regretted making Saul king. And that the Lord regrets putting Saul in this place of leading his people, God's people, the children of Israel. And so now, because of this action, because of Saul's disobedience, the enemy is on the outskirts in the territory of Judah, which belonged to the children of Israel, and they're threatening to gain even more ground. And so we look at it in verse 1 where it says, now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Succoth and Azekah. And Saul, the men of Israel, were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the other side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. So I have this little image of Goliath and Victor Wembanyama, just to kind of help put things into perspective. Victor Wembanyama, if you don't know, he's a player in the National Basketball Association. And this dude is tall. I mean, I would have to look up to him. 7'3". I mean, it's about yay high, all right? And so I would have to look up to Victor Wembanyama, but then he would have to look up to Goliath. Goliath is said to be 6 cubits in height and a span. So a cubit is about 18 inches, roughly the length of your forearm. And a span is half of a cubit, 9 inches. So he's approximately 9'9" in stature. So he's a big man. You know, he ate his Wheaties and apparently everybody else. And so we find this enormous beast of a man just standing out there threatening the children of Israel. And, you know, if we are to move from a fixed mindset to that of a growth mindset, we must first name our giant. We have to name it. We have to say what it is that is preventing us from moving forward. What it is that opposes us and mocks us and ridicules us and stands before us and says, how dare you come against me, right? So we must name that giant. In this particular story, there is an actual giant. His name is Goliath. It's a person. Maybe in your story, in your life, your giant may not be a person. It might be. And if it is a person, we pray for them, right? You love them, and you do this according to God's way. But perhaps you have other giants. We have physical giants in our life. Many of us, you know, it's the beginning of the year, and so we have weight loss giants that are standing before us and says, you will never. We have maybe some physical goals in our life where, you know, this giant stands in front of you and just says, you are limited to this. You would never be this. Maybe you're looking at your finances this morning and you're like, you know what? This is another giant that is in front of me. And I love what Ms. Lynette said this morning about giving. That was just so right on key. Because of our love for the Lord, you know that we want to be givers according to his goodness and what he has done for us. But perhaps you know, your finances is another giant standing in your way, preventing you from moving forward into the things of God. Maybe you're wanting to establish a college fund for your kids, or maybe you're wanting your kids to move out of the house, or whatever it may be, and you have this giant that is in front of you. We also have spiritual giants that can stand before us. Maybe there's like some unforgiveness in your heart that is this one person that you just need to forgive, and the Lord's been asking you to forgive this person, and you're like, God, this is so hard to do. You don't know what he did. You don't know what she did in my life. That could be another giant. What about maybe forgiving yourself? You know, that's another spiritual giant because we beat ourselves up. You know, maybe you come to the Lord and you experience his grace, you experience his mercy, and then you mess up, you fall, right? And you feel so bad about that. You're like, God, I can't believe I did that. And you beat yourself up, and it's yet another giant standing in your way. Perhaps the Lord put upon your heart to maybe go further in your faith, to really join with us in the book reading plan. And this is a giant before you. You're thinking in your mind, I can never read the entire Bible. And so this is yet another giant. What about writing a book? Perhaps there are some writers in the room today, and the Lord has put it upon your heart, you know, to write a book. And you're like, that's not me. I can never do that. And yet we have another giant. We have emotional giants that can... You know, we struggle with anger. We struggle with our temper, right? And our temper gets the best of us. And so the Lord is trying to bring you to a place where you're controlling your emotions. And so yet another giant standing before us. So in order to name our giant, I want to ask you a couple of questions that would maybe help you to determine or to name your giant. What is preventing you from moving forward? What tells you you can't do this because of this? Or you will always be this because of this? What stands in front of you? What mocks you? What is your giant this morning? So just to get a little bit more details of this giant that we're reading about in 1 Samuel named Goliath, it says he had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, and he had a bronze armor on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like the weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. And his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistines said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. give me a man that we may fight together. Now, this is really imposterous for this giant, this Philistine, to come against the armies of the living God. But many commentators believe that that Israel actually had the upper hand when it came to troop for troop, number for number, that Israel actually outnumbered the armies of the Philistines. But yet the enemy knew that he cannot come against the whole army of Israel, that he must bring the terms of war on his terms. In other words, he had to fight God's people through isolation and intimidation. Does that sound familiar? He still uses those same tactics today, where he tries to isolate you from the church. He tries to intimidate you. He stands before you. He does the same thing he did with the children of Israel through Goliath, and he does the same thing today. He'll try to isolate you, and he'll try to intimidate you, bring fear in your life. You cannot beat me, is what he says. And so the enemy tries to bring the war on his terms where it benefits him, not, because he knew he could not mess with the armies of the living God. And so Goliath, he was a descendant of Anak. He came from a race of giants. And so he wasn't the only giant. There were several giants. In fact, he has four brothers. They're all giants. They're ginormous men. I mean, 9'9". Do you know anybody 9'9"? I mean, that's huge. That's a huge man. But as we read this, we realize that the stakes were pretty high. In other words, the person or the nation that would lose this fight would become the servants of the other nation. And so we continue reading. But before we do that, I have a question you have to ask yourself. Like, all right, here is this Goliath, here is this giant just mocking Israel and saying, bring me a man. Where is your king? Where is King Saul in all this? You know, the man that you so desperately needed. You know, you needed a king. You said, you told Samuel, give us a king. We want to be like the other nations. All the other nations have a king. We want a king. Well, where is your king, Israel? We see in verse 11, when Saul in Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. This fearless leader, this leader that they had chose, that they wanted in rebellion towards God, is now cowering in fear. He's allowing, because Saul did nothing, he allowed this giant to mock the armies of the living God and to terrorize them. And ultimately, they forgot who they belonged to. They forgot that they were God's chosen people. They forgot whose they were because of fear and intimidation of this giant standing before them. You know, in a couple of chapters earlier, in chapters 11 of 1 Samuel, we find a totally different Saul. In 11, he's fighting against a group named the Ammonites, and he's trying to rally the children of Israel to war against the Ammonites. And it says this, and the Spirit of God rushed upon Saul when he heard these words, and his anger was greatly kindled. He took a yoke of oxen, cut them in pieces, and sent them through all the territory of Israel by the hand of the messenger, saying, whoever does not come out after Saul and Samuel, so shall it be done to his oxen. Then the dread of the Lord fell upon the people, and they came out as one man. See, he had the influence. He had that fire. He had that motivation to motivate his troops to fight against the armies of the Ammonites. What happened to that Saul? What we do find is that in that particular chapter, in that particular battle, it says the Spirit of God rushed upon him. The big difference between that story and the story we are reading today, in the story we are reading today, it says that God, he was so, he regretted making Saul king over Israel because of his disobedience. So therefore, there was no Spirit of the Lord coming upon him, rushing upon him. There was no voice of Samuel telling King Saul, go ahead, proceed, and conquer. There was no voice of the Lord as a consequence for Israel's sin. We cannot expect to beat our giants or fight against our giants without the Spirit of the Lord living on the inside of us. Amen. He will win every single time, especially if the battle is fought on his terms. We don't stand a chance against the enemy with his terms. We need the Spirit of the living God living on the inside of us. Amen. Now, whenever we are saved, whenever Christ comes into our heart, he begins a work, you know, through the work of the Holy Spirit. In fact, he does such a work where he says that you are a new creation in Christ, and that all of your old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. In other words, all your mindsets that you used to have about yourself and who you are is now out the window. And now you are a child of the living God. You serve the God who spoke and planets were formed by the words of his mouth. That's the God who you serve. You serve a God who spoke and he commanded the oceans to stop right here and go no further. That is the power of our God. And whenever we forget whose we are, we forget our identity, we give the enemy the upper hand in our life. And we allow him to intimidate us through fear and, in intimidation. And this is where we find Saul, the one that they wanted so desperately at this place. Now, I want to point out to you, though, even though we just read about all of Goliath's his armor, we read about his weapons and how much that weighed and all these different things. I want you to know today that your giant has limits. Your giant has limits. You know, well, why not? Why was it not? Why was his coat 5,000? Why was it not 10,000 shekels? Because he has a limit. You know, his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. Well, why not 1,000? Because he had a limit. Why did he only ask for one man to fight against him and not the whole army of Israel? Because he has a limit. Your giants have limits. Amen? Your giant has a limit. But let me tell you that even though your giant has a limit, the God that you serve does not have any limits. He is a limitless God. But yet so many times we try to limit God. This is what God can do. No. God is outside the box. We try to put him inside of a box. We should not limit God. We should not limit his power. He is a limitless God. But yet, how many times do we say, oh, well, God can't do this. God can't get me through this. No. If he spoke you and I into existence, if he formed us out of dirt, right, and then breathe his breath of life into our lungs, and we became a new creation, and we became a creature. There is nothing that God cannot do. Amen. We serve a limitless God. And that your giant only has power as long as you give him the power. I'll say that again. Your giant only has power as long as you give him the power. Saul remained immobile. He remained with a fixed mindset. And because he did, he allowed the army of, the Philistines to just demoralize the people of God. But then David. David steps to the scene. And we know a little something about David. David is said to be a man after God's own heart. And I believe as we read this, we'll see why. It says in verse 20, and David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took the provisions and went as Jesse his father had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. And as he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. and the men of Israel. And when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And so the reward was that his family would not have to pay taxes. I mean, we're all in this tax season right now, and so my wife's doing, this is a funny story, this has nothing to do with my sermon, but this is so funny. So my wife's doing taxes, but she spends all day doing taxes, and she did it last week, and she wasn't, you know, satisfied with the result from last week, so she says, you know what, I'm going to speak in tongues before I do my taxes this time, and hopefully for a better result. And I'm thinking, you know, you're going to get the same result, right? But no, she steps up with faith, and she begins to speak in tongues, and whatever else she does, I'm outside working with wood, and she comes back and tells me, Ted, you're not going to believe this, but we're actually getting, you know, a lot more back than what we thought. I'm like, are you serious? And I'm like, that's crazy, you know, But as a giant that was standing in our life, and she dared to believe God, and she dared to believe, you know, dared to speak God's word over that situation, and it did change. So, hey, speak in tongues before you do your taxes this season. It'll probably work. Amen. That's just a side note. That one's for free. I won't even charge you for that one. Amen. David had a growth mindset. He was not like the Israelites. He was looking at this challenge as an opportunity for God to do something big in his life. You know, it's look at what he says in verse 26. And David said to the men, so this is after everybody else is terrorized. They're paralyzed by fear. They're immobile. They're not going anywhere because of this giant standing before them. This is what David says. What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in the same way, so shall it be done to the man who kills him. David is saying things that nobody was saying at this time. David's actually imagined that giant dying, where nobody else even, that didn't even cross their mind. They just thought, it's over. This giant is just going to mock us. And you know, they had a fixed mindset. They were fixed on defeat. David was thinking about things that they were not thinking about. David was saying things that they were not saying. He's talking about taking the reproach away from Israel. You know, the reproach that Saul brought about because he did nothing. He sat there and let it happen. Yeah, that reproach. David said, I'm going to take the reproach. I'm going to kill this giant. It's going down. I'm sure the people like around them were kind of like taken back, like, who is this kid, you know? Like, this is a shepherd boy, right? He tends sheep, and he's talking about slaying this giant. I think maybe David at that point probably started thinking, you know what? Why not me? Why not me? Why not now? Why not, if not me, then who? Everyone else is paralyzed by fear. Everyone else is immobile, not doing anything, no forward progress. Why not me? Verse 31, it says, and when the words that David spoke were heard, they were repeated before Saul. And he sent for him, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. Isn't that always the case? That every time that you set out to do something about your situation, there's always someone that has a mouth, running their mouth, and say, you can't do this because of this. Saul was doing nothing about his situation, and he was trying to instill that same fear into David and say, no, you can't do this, David. You ever had someone tell you that you can't do something? That you're not good enough? You're not smart enough? You don't have the education? You don't have the background? You don't have the credentials? David was not having it. He heard Saul, but it kind of went in one ear and out the other ear. He was not having that. He knew who he was in his God. Look at what happens. In verse 34, it says, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear, he took a lamb from the flock. I went after him, and I struck him, and I delivered him out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions, tigers, bears, oh my. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God.' And David said, 'The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" Now, that's a growth mindset. It's a growth mindset because he didn't start off as a giant killer. No, he started with a rag and a rock. And I'm sure whenever he first started practicing with that rag and the rock, he might have thrown it the first time and he might have missed. Funny story. Whenever I was a young child, my dad bought me a bow and arrow. And I said, well, I'm a set the target on my dad's brand new crab ball pot, you know, because that's a good idea. And I said, I'll pull that bow and arrow back and I let that thing rip right through the pot. And I'm like, well, archery is not for me. But David, I'm sure he had practice after practice, taking that rag and taking that rock and perfecting his craft, you know, time and time again. So whenever the lion came, whenever the bear came, now, suppose David had a fixed mindset. Whenever the lion came, he sees the challenge, and he's afraid of confrontation. He's afraid of failure, and so he just allows the lion to take the lamb. I guess he's going to enjoy some good lamb chops. I guess the lion was really hungry. I guess that's the way it is. David had a growth mindset, but he was like, I'm not going to. And because the Lord was with him with the lion, and because the Lord was with him with the bear, he knew, he had the confidence to know that God will be with him against this giant. Amen. Your giant is no match for the Lord. Your giant is no match for the Lord. There is nothing that can stand up against our God. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's cancer. I don't care what it is. Your giant cannot stand against the Lord. Oh, we were way too early for that. But I said we were way too early for that. But so your giant is no match for the Lord. Look at verse 38. It says, "Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried to go in vain, for he had not tested them. And then David said to Saul, 'I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them.' So David put them off. Then he took up his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's pouch, and his sling was in his hands, and he approached the Philistine." Here's another thing that some people will try to say, "Oh, well, this is my armor and this is my sword. You should go this way. You should put this on." And so they try to make you into their image. They try to say, "You need to go this route because this worked for me." And David's like, no. I have not tested that armor, but I have tested the rock, the rag and the rock. I've tested this. This is a proven method. And so each and every one of us have a different rag and a different rock. We might not have Saul's armory. We might not have Saul's weaponry. Amen. But what has God given you? Amen. So let's look at it. And it's believed that the reason David grabbed five rocks instead of just one rock, because it only took one rock to bring down Goliath, one smooth stone, David had four other brothers, right? And even though he would not meet them right here, they would fall by the hands of David's army later on in life. We're going to knock down not just the giants that are in front of us, but we're going to knock down the giants that stand opposed to our friends and our family and our church. We're going to knock down giants that stand opposed to the armies of the living God. We're going to take them all out. They don't stand a chance. And it says, and the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistines looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistines said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistines said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Like he almost feels like, you know, that's what you're coming at me with? Like you totally misjudged the situation. Don't you realize how big I am? And so Goliath was so prideful, he's looking at the armies of Israel. He said, there is not a man who can match my physique, pound for pound, muscle for muscle. There is no one. And you're going to send a kid out here with a rag and a rock to beat me? He didn't realize who David's God was, apparently. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. He said, you're going to need more than a javelin. You're going to need more than a spear to beat me because I have a name. The name of the Lord of hosts. He is the host. He is the Lord of the hosts of the armies of heaven. There is no way, Goliath, that you stand a chance. You're doomed. You're going down. How dare you speak lies about my future? How dare you speak lies about my kids' future? How dare you speak lies about the future of this church? I'm cutting off your head. Because your mouth is attached to your head. And as soon as I cut off your head, you won't be able to lie anymore. You won't be able to intimidate me anymore. You're going down, Goliath. That's not a fixed mindset. That's a mindset that has been tested before. It's a growth mindset and believes, God, why not me? Why not use me? Why not me in my family, in my job, in my workplace, in my school? Why not me? David was willing to give God the opportunity to show himself strong. And let me just say that when we step out in faith in such a way as David did, that our giants will fall, and they will fall for the glory of God. I'm going to read this real quick. I know I'm running late, but it's all right. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. This is David. And I will strike down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. Amen. And if you know the outcome of the story, David, indeed, he runs to the battlefield, and he takes his rag and his rock, that which has been tested, and he takes it and he slings it towards Goliath, and it sinks into his forehead, and that giant falls down to the ground. Yes. And that wasn't enough. David says, I'm taking your sword because I don't have a sword. I'm taking your sword, and I'm going to cut off your head. You're not going to intimidate me anymore. You're not going to lie to me anymore. You're not going to speak death over my future anymore. I'm cutting off your head. Now, what kind of got me started in thinking about all this was actually a race that I ran two weeks ago, the marathon race. And yeah, you know, whenever you first start off the race, you kind of put yourself in a position where you think you're going to finish the race. And so if you think you're going to run about a 9-minute mile pace, then you kind of patient, you put yourself with other people who are set out to run that same pace. So I was thinking about 8.5, you know, somewhere around there. So I kind of place myself around there. And as I started running, I noticed that I'm passing up these other teams. They're like pacers. They have like these signs, and they have like a, one of them would say like 4.5. And so they are, you know, if in other words, they are set to run the race in 4.5 hours. That's a long time of running. Then they, you know, so, you know, you pass them up, and then you see another guy holding a sign, 4.0, and they are at pace to run the marathon in 4 hours. So you get the idea. And so I'm running, and I pass up the 4.5s, the 4s, and the 3.9s, the 3.8s, the 3.7s, 3.6s. And I come across this group, and they're running at 3.5. I'm like, is this really me? Is this like, is this what I'm capable of? Like, can I keep pace with these guys to the end? 3.5? Is this really me? And I heard the words of this sermon title, "Why Not You, Ted? Why Not You?" And because I mean, I'm running with these guys, and these guys look like athletes. I never looked at myself as an athlete. I never said, you know, I'm athletic by any means, but yet I was doing it. I kept pace with them, not 1 mile, not just 5 miles, not just 10 miles, 17 miles. Kept pace with these guys, set at 3.5. And I started thinking about this as these words said, "Why not you, Ted?" How many times do we limit ourselves? Come on. How many times we place limits on ourselves? We said, "I can't do this because of this. You can't be in the top 50 runners because of this." Now, who's to say, now I was not in the top 50, but who's to say that I can't get better at it? Who's to say I can't get out there with some practice and dedication and be one of the top 50 that finishes this race? Why not me? What makes me different from the next guy? Maybe his willingness, you know, to perfect his craft, his willingness to say, all right, I'm not there yet, but with a little hard work, with a little practice and putting my God first, there is nothing that I cannot do. There is no giant that stands before me that cannot fall. Always like the expression, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Amen. The bigger your giant, the harder they fall because of who your God is. Not because of who you are, but because of who your God is. Yeah. Amen. There is nothing that can stand against the name of the Lord. Stop limiting yourself and say, I can't do this because of that. Maybe you have a Saul in your life, that person who speaks, you can't do this. You're just a pretty boy. You're just a pretty boy, David. Well, who do you think you are? You might actually have that voice in your life. You need to rebuke that voice in the name of Jesus, because you are a new creation in Christ, and all things have become new, including your mindset. You have the mind of Christ. You ought to rise up and believe who God made you to be. And stop selling for second place. Stop selling for getting your butt kicked over and over again. Young people who are in band, why not make honor band? Why not be the starting wide receiver on the team? Why not be the first person to graduate from college? Why not be that book writer? Why not? What makes you different than anyone else? Stop limiting yourself. Why not start that business? Why not? Why not you? What is that limitation? What is that giant that you're facing? Now, who is your God? And how does your giant compare to your God? Come on. He doesn't. He doesn't compare. We serve a mighty God. And you know, I believe God raises up athletes, and they work their craft, and they perfect their craft, and they work hard. And I was so impressed the other day whenever Patrick Mahomes, You know, you may not like the Chiefs. You may like the Chiefs. It really doesn't matter. But whenever they ask him after the AFC Championship game, you know, the very first thing that comes out of his mouth, you know what he says? All glory to God. Amen. Look. It's all glory to God. Your giants fall and God gets the glory. Amen. I'm going to be in that top 50 and God's going to get the glory. Amen. What is that giant that you're facing this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we just thank you right now for your word. We thank you, O Lord, that we can do great things, O God, because of you. Lord, and that whatever giant that is facing us right now, whatever lie that we have believed about ourselves, whatever limitation that we have placed on ourselves and on you, we remove that this day in the name of Jesus. And this day, from this day forward, that giant will no longer intimidate us. That giant will no longer speak lies over us and over our future. We choose to believe the word of God. We choose to believe what God says about us, not what anybody else says about us, not what this world says about us. I choose to believe who I am in Christ. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus, my Lord. I choose to believe that. And I reject the lies of the enemy this day. This day forward. And I thank you for a mindset of growth, that we will look at challenges as opportunities for God to do something big. Ultimately, you get the glory. You get the glory, oh God. And so we magnify your holy name. We pray for a change, oh God, in our mindsets. We break every unhealthy mindset right now in the name of Jesus. Every person who doesn't believe that you've created them for greatness, God, we reject that right now in Jesus' name. And I speak freedom into your people, oh God. Freedom in the name of Jesus. God, we love you and we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We encourage you, walk out those doors, identify your giant, and go and face that battle with the power of the Holy Spirit. We love you guys. Don't forget a Reach Team meeting in about 5 minutes right here in the sanctuary right after church.